I don't know what happened. They used to all be so cute. The ravages of time. That was a blessing. It's fast, you know, just watch that. I could watch 100 pictures of each one of them. And again, as I said, I'm going to miss them. They're going to go away to college, most of them, and be gone for months out of the year. And just like some of these young people who are here tonight are gone for months out of the year. In this class in particular, one of the more unique things about this graduating class is that for a lot of their high school experience, much of it was spent just before, during, and after all those COVID lockdowns and all the protocols and all of the restrictions. And so in the summer of 2020, I called the guys in and some others into my office, and I said, look, we knew their freshman year was coming, and for some of the graduates in recent the recent graduates of that year, they would miss out on a lot of things. And so we knew it would be different, including the fact we knew that these guys would not be able to go to youth conference where we normally go. There was no youth conference. There was no youth conference basically anywhere in the country at that time. And for some of them, they had waited for their very first opportunity to go, waited a couple years, you know, as sixth graders and so on. And so they would miss out on that. Others who were seniors would miss out on what would have been their last opportunity to go. And so again, we called the workers in and we said, hey, let's do our own thing. Let's make our own three-day conference. As you know, there was a lot of talk in the government and in media about essential services and what was essential and essential workers, what was non-essential workers and services, and so on. And in some states, in fact, really most states, church was not considered essential. And so you had to lock down, not have services. In a few states, you weren't even allowed, Idaho's one and others, and Canada, of course, the whole country, you weren't even allowed to have outdoor services at all. Thankfully, our governor passed down legislation. I still have a copy of it, 6 pages of what he said are essential services. And there were the usual ones that you might, you know, first responders and the police and nurses and things like that. And then he included in the legislation, or in the, whatever it was, executive order, he said clergy are essential workers and churches are essential services. But then he said, but we would ask that you be wise, be careful, and he did not forbid drive-in services. So we said, you know, the scripture says honor the king, and we determined here that we would do that, but at the same time honor the Lord, who said not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Now, we assembled in cars, and for the weeks that we had to do it, I'm telling you, it was a tremendous blessing. And then we decided that we would have a theme for this three-day youth conference for these guys and some who graduated out. And it was essential Christianity. And the theme for those few days was kind of like taking what we believe and what God wants and boiling it down. And we came up with a theme verse of Micah 6:8 we're going to look at tonight. And these two guys are going to help me with it. I think Brother Kevin mentioned the verse. Did you in the meeting? Do you remember that or not? You're going to take credit for it whether you did or not. I don't know. Yeah, I did that. I think he did. And so I said, let's order these little silicone bracelets that have the theme on it. And how many of you still have them? Any young people still have them? You do? All right, good. I had mine, and then I gave it to one of the guys who went away. And, of course, it says, do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. The scripture, if you look at it, says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? What does God really, really want? That's essential, right? The essentials of our faith. Before the conference, you'll recall, there were these drive-in services. And I don't think a single Lord's Day went by that we did not have some kind of an assembly somewhere where those of us, as God's people, who could, we didn't pressure anybody, we didn't force anybody, we didn't make a big deal about yet do or don't wear masks. We put the blue tape out. You may see that in a moment. To try to respect the authorities over us who said, look, we want social distancing and things like that. So we're going to really do a quick, fairly quick run through memory lane on this, and then we're going to get down. You're going to see pictures of this theme that we had with the young people, all right? I'm going to use this one now, if you would, guys. All right, so we started on the pickup truck, as you may remember, and then there's our pickup, and the guys with the brass, because you can't hear things. There's our cars in the parking lot. These church was packed. The memories of this, and then we went to a platform. Thank you, Brother Dovalis, for building the platform for us. Thank you, Darlene, for putting flowers on it. These guys worked hard with this stuff. Oh, Chick-fil-A came by and helped us out during the week a few times. These guys didn't work at all. What's with the hamburger over there on the right? Is that your cousin? I wasn't in the shop with it. Of course, Marlene kept up. We had junior church, children's church. We had a VBS that was about the size of nothing. And then we started with the theme of, you see the bags? One of the fun things about this week is they didn't know anything about it. They didn't know what was in the bag. They didn't know what we were going to do each day. We kept it a secret every day. And then they were on the choir loft getting the first words. Now, I understand that there wasn't hardly anything going on at the time, so people wore a mask. We went in a crazy gym down south. It was kind of dirty, but whatever. Our missionaries were here, and they were a blessing. We had him speak and had her speak as well. We had split sessions, as you'll see in a minute. I'm not sure why Rick was there. Free food, I think. And so, again, some of these, and again, this is the first night that they're kind of getting the instructions of what we're going to do. And the whole point of this whole thing was they had not fellowshipped. They had been robbed of not only a youth conference, I say robbed, first world problems, I get that. But they had been robbed of a lot of fellowship, getting to do things. But mostly, I think the important, there was a night soccer place. That was kind of cool, but once again, that was also dirty. There's our VBS room. This is not VBS, but this is, some of these guys were workers. We had meetings in the gym in the VBS part. We had split sessions with the missionary's wife. And no idea what that is. This is one of the nights when we're teaching them. See the blue tape? All the social distancing that they're not doing in this picture. The t-shirts, we ordered t-shirts with a theme on it. And this was a live B&B program, right? Is it live? Yeah, it was live. Wow, that was a good time right there. They passed out these little thumbs down things on, I think there were questions, yes or no, I don't know. Yeah, that's what it was. I love him, you're cute. Brother Kevin had a bunch of games. I think they did rock, paper, scissors a lot of times. Oh, he's teaching the song. Brother Kevin wrote a song, did you not? You want to come up here and sing it? I do. You can do it? Are you serious? All right, let's have him do it. Come on here. While the slides are going, he's going to sing.
All right? This was not planned, I promise.
He hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God.
Wow, give him a hand. That was really good.
On the spur of the moment. He did know what he wrote it after all. You saw the big, big, big surprise highlight. And we had a man who's never been to Beacon Baptist Church hand me a check and say, I want to underwrite this entire thing. Yeah. Benihana's, all that big shock. Most of them have never been there. They're like, ooh, they cooked in front of you. But that was a good time. But Hugh Lack spoke. I remember he wept right here at this point. He was weeping when talking to the young people. He had been in lockdown as well. We got these crazy things where you play soccer and you bounce each other. That was probably the most dangerous thing we've done. That was far more dangerous than COVID, I promise you. That's why I'm not showing the video of it. But it was fun. It was real hot and sweaty, but it was a lot of fun. That was the theme, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. That was the design logo that was on your shirts and other things. And that's a lot of memories, young people, and I'm thankful. One of the things I'm thankful for is that through that week and through now, you're coming, here you are, you're graduating, is that, among other things, young people, it shows you that the Lord sustained you. Hopefully it taught you to trust him and taught you to be patient, but also to know what is, as we did that week, truly essential. Meaning, what is it that really matters to God? which therefore is the same thing that ought to matter to us. You know, it's interesting because in Micah's message from God about backslidden Israel, there was a very pointed message in this, because he doesn't say, there's not a lot of negatives, right? He doesn't say, don't do this. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require? Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You ever notice that? In fact, there's no negatives in what he says here. And if you know anything about who Micah was preaching to in the 500 years of the backsliding and so forth, I think you'll understand why. Because rather, he says in summary, what God wants and what God requires is do this. Do this, do this, and then do this. And, you know, it's a reminder that if you do the positive things, you do what God wants you to do. Remember the summation of the entire law in the New Testament is love thy neighbor as thyself? The royal law, the whole summary. That's positive. If you do the positive things that God wants and what God wanted Israel to do, you're not even going to want to do the negative things. He has shown thee, O man, what is good. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. He's going to talk about loving mercy, right? And walking humbly. What is good? That's a good question, by the way. What is good? I want to be good. I want to do good. God wants me to be good. What is good? Only God knows the answer to that question. And his answer are those three things. This is what's good. And the first one, and I'm only spending a minute on it, is he says, do justly. And what does it mean to do justly? It means that you act with justice toward your neighbors, your friends, your family. For instance, Micah goes on to talk about unjust weights in this text. That's where they would cheat. Unjust weights. It's supposed to be 4 ounces. It's really 6 ounces, or it's really 3 ounces. Cheating your neighbor. Not striving and showing them grace. So that doing justly simply means being fair and being right with the person in front of you, the person next to you, and the people behind you. Do justly. What God doesn't want you to do, young people, is for you to be unfair. To lie about them to other people. To lie to them. You know, Mom talked the other day about her and my dad getting into little spats. And she said, you know, we would get in these spats at night, and I determined that I would just make up and it would all be okay. And, you know, I'd go to bed. Like, you know, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. She said, but in the morning when I made his lunch for him to take to the Air Force base, I did it with the same love and care as always, but I always took a great big bite out of a sandwich. Just to keep him honest. Just to let him know. I think that's just, amen? That's Micah goes on to talk about how grieved God is when people would lie about their neighbors, spread falsehoods. And again, young people, this is not a life that you want to please God. You want to do good. Do justly. God doesn't command you to like everyone. You know, not everyone's likable. Aren't you glad God doesn't command you to like everybody? I mean, I could list some people I don't like. Most of them are on TV. They're not in this room. Nobody in this room. I like and love everybody in this room. God does command us to love everyone. And love's an action. It's how you treat them. And the way you love everyone is you're just. You do justly with everyone. And so, that includes even when others are unjust to you. So, be fair, God says. He has shown thee. What is essential Christianity? What does God really want? What does he require of you? He requires you and me to do justly. Which leads us to the second thing. In that week in 2020, the second thing, you know, I remember in the summer of 2020, that next Wednesday, and we had the blue tape and so on, we did this exact thing. We kind of tag teamed. And Brother Kevin's going to come and speak about the second one. Okay.
Just once again, Micah 6:8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I was talking to a pastor this morning in Sunday school. I said, "Pastor, I'm so excited. My message is going to be sandwiched in between yours and Brother Andy's." And without skipping a beat, he goes, "A bologna sandwich." Thank you for that. Praise the Lord. I want to take a look at these two words, love, mercy. And I want to say congratulations to you all in the front row here. What a blessing it has been. My wife and I came about 3 years ago. And of course, right when we got here, everything shut down. And I've heard all kinds of my friends, everything shut down when you got here. I'm like, that's funny. But it's been a joy to watch you grow in the Lord and meet you and get to know you all. And what a great blessing. But I want you to take a look at these two words, love, mercy. I was studying this week about it, and I found that it has a lot deeper meaning than what we might learn in junior church. In junior church, I teach the kids that mercy is not giving something, not giving a punishment that we do deserve. Of course, the Bible talks about the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, we deserve to be separated from God forever in a place called hell, but he gave a gift. We did not get a punishment which we rightfully deserve because of our sin. That is mercy. But upon further study, I found out that the Hebrew word for mercy in this text, in Micah 6:8, is the word hased. It's translated in your Bible as mercy, kindness, goodness, loving kindness. All definitions are words pertaining to God's dealings with us and our interactions with other people. So in other words, it's not just loving mercy, but young people, listen, and everybody listen, it is loving kindness. It is loving kindness. It is loving mercy. It is being good to other people. And so as we come to these things that are essential Christianity, it is important to recognize and to realize that we should love being kind to other people. Now, I want to give you three quick things. I promise, Brother Andy, I would not be very long. Somebody said there's cake waiting, so we're going to hustle this thing up, okay? But I want to give you three quick things on how you can learn to love mercy, to love kindness, to love goodness. And the first thing is, you should think about it. You say, what do you mean? It's important to meditate. God gives us these things that we're supposed to do. Of course, we're supposed to read our Bibles. We're supposed to study our Bibles. We're supposed to memorize our Bibles. But one of the things that we're supposed to do is to meditate on the Word of God. And it's an important thing to meditate on the mercy of God. Ponder it. Think about it. Think about how good God has been to you. We think about this word that's translated this way over 60 times in the Old Testament about mercy, goodness, and kindness, and loving kindness. If you want to love mercy, think about God's mercy towards you. Hasn't God been good and merciful to us? You think about what it says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 22. It says, it is of the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. God has been good to us. It is of his mercies that we are not consumed. Think about the mercy of God in your own life. Here's another verse, Psalm 32, verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Psalm 33, verse 5, the earth is full of the goodness, hased, that's the Hebrew word for mercy, of the Lord. Psalm 52, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Psalm 86, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call unto. There's a lot of things you can talk about when you talk about the mercy of God. Think about it. We were in darkness. He delivered us to light. We were in death. He delivered us to life. We were a child of hell. Now we're children of heaven because of the mercy of God. And if you want to love mercy tonight, think about God's mercy on your own behalf. And then with you young people specifically, in the coming weeks and months, it's going to get even more busy than it is now. And I challenge you and pray that you would prioritize just thinking about what God has done in your own life. Because you're going to be so busy. And some people might say, wow, it is so busy, I didn't have time to read my Bible. It is so busy that I didn't have it. I want you to know something, and that busyness does not rob you of your priorities. Busyness simply reveals what your priorities really are.
That's true.
And so as we think about this, as you go off to college and as we go about our lives working and going to practices and rehearsals and different things, it's important for us to take time to think about God's mercy in our own lives. God has given us so much mercy. Psalm 46, verse number 10 says, "Be still." Man, that's hard in this day and age. I can't be still. That's why they give me this thing. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." You should think about God's mercy to you. Secondly, very quickly, you should talk about God's mercy. Psalm 105, verse number 2, "Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of his wondrous works." A couple of you are going off to Crown College. I had a friend in school. His name was Brian. He's a pastor now in Virginia. And when it was super busy, we had midterms, and I had basketball practice, and I had work, and I had homework, and I had people in the dorm, and I would get stressed out, and I would get tired. There were a couple times, more than a couple times, that I had to stay up late, and I had to do these assignments. We had these books. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We did it for ambassadors. We had to fill out these books going through the entire Bible, and I waited to the very last minute. How many of you are thankful for the last minute? Because if it wasn't for the last minute, nothing would get done, right? So I waited to the last minute, and so I started filling out these books. I pumped the caffeine in. I was, let's get this done. And I was so tired the next day, I had to get up at 5 in the morning to go to basketball practice. And I had to go to school. And there I was, tired, didn't want to talk to anybody, didn't want to socialize, didn't like people at that moment in time. And then my buddy Brian, that I'm talking about, he came up to me. He said, "Hey, Kevin, how are you doing?" And he was so bubbly and cheery. How many of you know somebody, like, it's in the morning time, and you hadn't had your coffee yet, and you just don't want to talk to anybody? This kid came up to me, "How are you doing, Kevin?" I was like, "I'm just kind of tired. I want to go to sleep. And then I want to wake up and eat something and go back to sleep." And he looked at me with that positive voice, "Ain't God good?" And I was like, "Oh." But he was on to something. We all go through hard times, difficult times, busy times. But he kept the Lord's goodness always before him. And not only did he think about it — you want to love mercy, you think about it — but you also talk about it. Make sure it becomes a part of your daily conversations. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Listen, we like to talk about everything that's going on in this world, how it's going crazy, how it's going nuts. But as sure as we talk about those things around the table, let's talk about the goodness of God, the mercy of God around the table. That'll change your outlook just a little bit. Ain't God good? Amen. Think about it. Talk about it. Take action with it. It's the third thing. The Bible says — actually, don't look there, I have it written here — 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7, "For who maketh thee to differ from one another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" In other words, God has given you mercy. Take that mercy and give it to somebody else. Take that kindness and give it to somebody else.
Right.
How many of you know sometimes that ain't easy? Excuse me, that is not easy. Sometimes people get on our nerves. Sometimes people rub us the wrong way. But if we're thinking constantly about the mercy of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God, all these things that God has done for us, we should go and be kind to other people. We should go and be merciful to other people. We should show goodness to other people, because God has given us so much. We can't keep it to ourselves. We should give it to somebody else. Be merciful to other people. So young people, and everybody really, that is how we can get a good start on loving mercy, thinking about it. Make a time where you sit and think about God. That's what the preacher said last Sunday night, thinking about Jesus. Jesus is all this stuff, good and merciful and kind. Think about it. Talk about it. And then be about it. Take action with it. Show somebody else mercy. This is essential Christianity. One more time, Micah chapter 6, verse number 8. Let's look at it. The Bible says, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Now, I'm going to alley-oop it to Andy here, and he's going to come along and do a better job than I did. All right.
Thank you, Brother Kevin. Like they say, third time's a charm, amen? Just kidding. We were talking about this lesson, this sermon that we were going to teach tonight. We were casting lots. Who's going to do justly? Who's going to talk about mercy? Who's going to talk about humility? Naturally. Lord help me. Don't strike me down. But see, that's it, isn't it? That's the tricky thing about humility. It's something you always want to seek after, but the moment you think you have it, you lost it, right? But there's so much more to this. Very quickly before we close, for our young people and for all of us tonight, to regard this essential quality to walk humbly with our God. The scripture gives a lot of promises to those who walk humbly with him. It says that they are regarded by God. Isaiah 66 says, "For all these things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. I've made everything that you see. But to this man will I look, the proud, the rich, the successful. No, to this man will I look, him that is a poor and a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Not only is he regarded by God, but the humble enjoy the presence of God. I love this. Isaiah 57, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." Think about that. "Whose name is holy. I dwell." Where does God dwell? "I dwell in the high and the holy place." That makes sense. But then he says, "But also with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit." Wow. Lastly, the humble are exalted by God. And you know these words by the Lord Jesus himself, that whosoever shall exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There are sweet and precious promises to those who have a humble heart. But here's the critical truth. You just read it. What does it say? What does he require of you, young people, all of us? To walk humbly with thy God. The greatest mistake, I think, when it comes to this subject of humility in this key ingredient is humility is not a process. It is a product with being with the right person. God is not instructing his people to achieve humility or obtain it or manufacture it, but rather it is a result of simply being with him. It's a very strong reminder to, yes, our young people tonight and us, that everything that we could truly desire in this life is found in our God and in him alone. And that can only happen with a deep, intentional, and abiding relationship. Almost everyone here, I believe, like our graduates, would say, "I want to do the right thing. I want to love the right way." And that's good. But in order to do so, you need to know the right person. And I don't think it's an accident that God ends this beautiful admonition with this essential requirement, because, frankly, I think it's something that many people forget. I was telling the teenagers last week during visitation that if you really boil down the crux of the gospel to the very core substance of what it really is, what it really, really is simply it's God wanting to restore fellowship with us. He simply wants to walk with us again. And when you consider everything that our Father had to do, everything he had to sacrifice to make that happen, you see why he places such a huge emphasis on, hey, walk with me in humility. Yet, so many are apathetic, they're casual, they're inept, they're uninterested. As Brother Kevin said a moment ago, they're too distracted. They're too busy. They're too concerned with other things than to consider the one who has given them everything. God could ask for everything and anything in our lives, and he has every right to, and I'll say that again, he has every right to ask for our all. But more than anything, all he wants is for you and I to walk humbly with him. It's beautiful. It's astonishing. Especially in light of the world that our young people live in today. As we were looking through the pictures, beautiful pictures, both of our graduates, little adorable babies, and then looking through the photos, especially during 2020, I don't think anyone in this room would disagree with me that since that time, our country has taken an accelerated descent into pride, selfishness, depravity, and delusion. It's shocking. It's shocking how quickly things have digressed. People have retreated into their own lives, their social media feeds, their identities, the darkness of their own minds, and they have emerged in a much more desperate state than ever thought possible. And there's no greater show of that than the lack of humility that is in this country. Our young people have heard so many times, they're probably sick of it from hearing it from me, but throughout the year, I have warned them of the influential, overarching, wicked, gnawing sense of narcissism that has grown in this world. The problem is everybody speaks of God, but no one is truly submitting to God. And God will always get a shout out at a political rally or celebrity interview or a rapper accepting a reward or a country music star on stage. You know, this one's for you, JC. You know, one of those, right? These are all a false show of humility. And even within God's people, some of these young people here will tell you when they were in the private sector, and some are still in the private sector, they have had conversations with people who claim to be children of God, but they live such desperately hopeless and dark lives. Matthew 15 says, "These people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Wow. People today think that all you need is to be aware of God. But you actually need to associate. You need to walk with him with a humble heart. And C.S. Lewis once said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it is thinking of yourself less. And that is not what is going around in classes of 2023. There's a new trend going on right now. It's called marrying yourself. It's not a joke. People are literally marrying themselves. They commit themselves to them, and there's no real vows. It's just affirmation of how amazing they are. People go to this. I don't even go when two people are getting married, let alone one person. I'm just kidding. But why would you do that? My number one question, this is Rick Blaylock in my head too. Can you divorce yourself? Is that possible? Can you do that? No, Rick was thinking it, I know. So, but we laugh, right? But that's where we're at today. It's because we live in a nation that has forgotten to whom all blessings have come from. And when you forget, you fall. It's only when we're walking with God that we're truly reminded of who we are without him and what we have in him. As you know, I have the very toxic habit of scrolling through YouTube shorts and videos. And now my algorithm is polluted with people just walking around universities. I'm very burdened for young people, as you know. And it breaks my heart. I don't encourage it. Just listening to what young people think in these universities. And then one guy came up to this girl and said, "What are some of the blessings?" And she goes, "I have no blessings in my life." She goes, "I'm a minority. Nothing is good for me." Nothing is good for you? So the guy proceeded to point out, you have designer clothes, you have a designer handbag, you have you just told me your education is provided for, you have a car, a brand new car. She goes, "Yeah, you don't understand. You're just a tall white male." And he goes, "Actually, ma'am, I'm Arab." "Oh, you're Arab? How is that?" It's like, and I'm watching this, and Sarah goes, "Why are you yelling?" I'm yelling at my phone. Because this is where we are today. There's no gratitude. There's no thing. Nothing is good for me. Young people, listen to me. That's what you're up against today. That's what you're dealing with. Time and time again, you are going to be confronted with people who shake their fist at God. But they're more than happy to take that other hand and take their blessings from him. Don't be one of those people. Sadly, you're going to experience it in a lot of Christian circles as well. Jesus Christ said, "By your fruit you shall know them." And there are a lot of people who say they walk with God. They have a deep and abiding walk with Jesus Christ. There's no gratitude. There's no humility. There's no change. Don't be one of those people. A walk with God shows you everything that you need to know, everything you're supposed to see, and everything that you really are and who he is. Andrew Murray once said that pride must die within you, or nothing of heaven will show from you. Recognize the immense privilege and blessing that you have received from your merciful God. And the more you walk with him, the more you will grow in that humility and in that gratitude. And in my personal opinion, it'll be the single greatest identifier that you are indeed a child of God. Because everyone out in this world does not have the hope that you have. And there is nothing more foreign in our world today than a young man or a young woman who does justly, who loves mercy, and walks humbly with their God. You know, I'll say this and I'll be done. I don't take lightly or for granted the incredible privilege that I've had over the years to teach and disciple and pour my life into these young people. And I don't want to violate what I've just been preaching and film with a big head, but God giving God all the glory and praise. I'm so thankful for the youth of this church. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. I can tell you stories, they can tell you stories, and no one can tell you stories more than their own parents, amen? They're not perfect. But they have a heart to serve. More importantly, they desire to know the Lord and His Word. They seek what the Bible says. They ask questions. I love that. They step in whenever they're needed. They desire to be a blessing, and it has been a privilege in my life to see them walk and grow in the Lord. I told them once before, and I'll say it tonight, the only thing that I desire from their life is that Christ is shown in them. I don't care, frankly, if they're successful. I don't care if they're popular. I don't care if they're accomplished in education or finance or any other earthly measure. I simply want them to bear and enjoy the sweet fruits of the Spirit and to have a humble walk with their God. Because in the end, that's all that matters. And that's all you need. My mom used to say, I'd say, I love you, Mom. And she'd say, Boogs, I love you more. And if you were in trouble, she'd say, I love you more clearly. Like, uh-oh, clearly? That means I did something wrong. I better figure it out quick. I love you more clearly. Especially if it was a text. Oh, dear. But she always said, I love you more. I love you guys. Your pastor loves you. Staff loves you. This church loves and supports you. But God loves you infinitely more. Don't forget Him. Don't forsake Him. Rather be one of those rare people on this earth that chooses to fellowship with Him. Of all the questions I've ever been asked from years and years with young people, why doesn't he like me? Why doesn't she like me? Just kidding. The most frequent and fervent one, without a doubt, is, Brother Andy, what is God's will for me? You don't have to discover it. You don't have to look for it. You've already heard it tonight. It's right here. What he requires is for you to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with him. Love and live for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful, blessed time tonight. A lot of emotions, a lot of feeling, a lot of nostalgia, a lot of memories, but more than anything, Lord, a reminder that you are so good to us and you have been so faithful to us. We know in just a few short months, days even, that these young people are going to be challenged, changed, guided on paths they've never known. But it doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't have to be fraught with doubt or uncertainty. But rather, Lord, just another step that they take in walking with you. Help them, Lord, that no matter how much their life may change or busy it gets, that in this moment and in this pew, that they're reminded that you just want them to walk with you. Help them, Lord, to do justly, to love mercy, and to humbly walk with you. And may that be true of all of us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.